I'm John Glover. I was Lionel Luther on Smallville, and I will always, always hold on to Smallville. And I hope you all do too.
My name is Zach Moore.
My name is Lance Laster.
My name is Cavante Chillis.
And you're listening to Always Hold On to Smallville. Whoa! Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville, Arrow Edition. That's right, because we have another episode, and I say another being the first one, that they took an episode title and the character was focused on, and then made a show on the CW about it years later. Yes, we have Arrow, we have Supergirl. There was going to be a Booster Gold show. Remember that?
Yep.
On Sci-Fi Channel for years, they talked about Booster Gold. They probably would have called it Booster.
Mm-hmm.
There is an episode of Smallville called Supergirl, not one called Superman. I was always like, well, man, when they get the series from now, they're going to call it Superman. Unfortunately, to do that, your character has to appear in the episode. So that's why they didn't call the series finale Superman. But yes, you know, run, you know, what are you going to do?
Run, Barry, run.
Barry, run, Barry, run. So, yes, so this has been a fun coincidence of scheduling where, you know, Lance and Kev have Always on the Arrow, a spinoff of a kind from Smallville, talking about Arrow, which is a spinoff of a kind of Smallville, right?
Yeah.
Because even though it's on Earth Prime?
Yes.
Now?
Yeah.
Which I still disagree with, because if anyone has read the comics, they understand that we are Earth Prime, the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is Earth 1, 2... But now it's like, oh, we're Earth Prime now. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. But anyway, the point is Earth 167 and Earth Prime, Earth 1 for 8 years, and then Earth Prime after that.
Yeah.
We have come together in this crisis to talk about Arrow, but not that Arrow, the episode of Smallville called Arrow. Arrow. Starring the Green Arrow Bandit. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So I guess first off, I mean, there's not a lot of pregame here to discuss. You guys talk about Arrow all the time. We talk about Smallville all the time. There's been a lot of lead up to this, right? Because this is the fourth episode of the sixth season. And Justin Hartley's Green Arrow was heavily promoted. He's in the cast photos. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in the promo posters for everything. Like, it's the Green Arrow show for the first half of the sixth season. It really is, right? And because of this stretch of episodes, say what you will about Smallville season 6, right? That's why we have the Arrowverse today, because he was very well received. They talked about doing a spinoff with him. They didn't, for whatever reason.
Yep.
We did get Arrow. And at the time, right, it's funny how things, as listeners to this podcast, you guys have probably heard our opinions change about things, at least mine. I can speak for myself. Lance is probably more consistent with his opinions and viewpoints than I am.
I try to be.
He's that kind of guy. I'm all over the place. You can't pin me down. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. But the point is, right? You've probably heard me say, man, what are they doing? They're going to launch an Arrow show, but it's not Justin Hartley and spinoff of Smallville. What a waste. And then I'm like, oh, like three seasons in, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't spin this off Smallville. I'm so glad it's its own thing. Can you imagine if they had to, you know, have all that baggage from Smallville? Right, with the Green Arrow and the Flash and Supergirl. And now, right, I mean, in 2020, we're recording this. I'm like, man, I really wish they just would have spun off Smallville.
Because... yeah.
So, you know,
I was going to say, what did you say in season 4?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, right? It's the ups and downs, right? So, but, you know, let's go back. Okay. Way back, as you guys say.
Mm-hmm. Into time.
Back into time.
So, 2007 is when these episodes are all happening with season 6 of Smallville. And it's like, oh, they're bringing on the Green Arrow. I guess they couldn't bring on Batman. I mean, that's exactly what it was, right?
I knew that, and I didn't see it till 2011.
So I know, Kev, you were late to the show.
Yeah.
As we've established, you watched them all in DVDs and whatnot. Mm. But Lance, I mean, you were watching it in first run,
yeah,
as I was. When you heard about the Green Arrow, being more of a comic aficionado than myself, mm-hmm, you were familiar with this character.
Yeah.
So what did you think when you heard, oh, the Green Arrow is going to be on Smallville and he's going to be around like all the time? What's this about?
I thought what you thought. I was just like, well, they couldn't get Batman, so they decided to use, at the time, what everybody had just considered Green Arrow, I mean, Batman Light, and so they just brought him onto the show, and that's exactly the capacity they used him in. But, like with Arrow, the show Arrow, like Oliver, you find out that that Oliver Queen is much more interesting than he gets credit for, I think, and he gets a bad rap for being Batman Light when he is so much more than that, but like oftentimes he is used as that, and I think that's a real shame.
Yeah,
I remember seeing him in Justice League, mm-hmm, Unlimited. I mean, he is like the point of view character for the second half of that show,
yeah,
where they like everybody lives on the Watchtower and we've invited every hero we, mm-hmm, know and all that stuff. And him and Black Canary have a lot of episodes together. I say a lot, I mean comparatively speaking, like they have a handful of appearances.
They do, and they actually get together in that show, which I didn't think was possible because
what?
What?
Yet to see them meet in live action, or at least I say meet, I be together. It's always that blonde IT girl. You know?
Always.
Oh man, maybe one day, maybe when the Green Arrow movie one day.
No.
But by then, people are like, what do you mean? He's supposed to be a Felicity.
Exactly.
Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The comics have changed now, man. Yeah. Everything's different now. Okay. Earth Prime. Says that Felicity Smoke and Oliver in some kind of heaven office building,
yep,
for all eternity now.
Oh,
we'll,
man,
get to that.
We'll get there, y'all.
Yeah. I look forward to that. How it started, how it ended. But anyway. So we've seen Oliver for a couple episodes already.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we talked about on Always On to Aquaman, he was cast as Aquaman, and that show that was going to be called Aquaman or Mercy Reef or
Tempest Keys.
That third one's
great
always
show.
Up for debate.
Great run. Great run, right. That show.
that was one to be remembered. And when the WB ceased to exist and CW happened, they decided not to move forward with that show. So they were like, well, we want to do Green Arrow on Smallville. We really like Justin Hartley, and he doesn't have a job anymore, so let's get him on for this, right? And I think it works great. It's mm-hmm, interesting to watch him now on Smallville for two reasons. One, we have Arrow. So we have Stephen Amell, who's become, you know, the iconic live-action Green Arrow,
mm-hmm,
for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then we have This Is Us, which I have watched, and I'm like, wow, like, Justin Hartley's a great actor. I mean, he was always fun on Smallville. I always enjoyed him. But I was like, this guy is a great actor. So I'm like, oh, it's Kevin Pearson.
Yeah.
As well as like, well, you're not Oliver Queen. You know, so it's to rewatch Arrow and to have This Is Us going on concurrently with when I'm watching and recording these things, and to go back and see him on Smallville is very interesting to me. So
It is. It is funny watching him because you're just like, Kevin Pearson? Nah. Like, you you're a superhero also? It is weird. And it's weird watching, going back and seeing what Green Arrow was at this time versus what we're seeing, like, you know, like on our show. Because, like, it's completely different.
It's, I think the best way I can describe it, it's very, like, limited.
Yeah.
like he has a costume, but he barely moves ever in the episode.
Yeah.
Everything he does is very slow,
mm-hmm,
and it's very, like, you know, posy, like, look at him for a minute,
yep,
instead of, like, fast-paced snapping necks that we get to see in Arrow eventually. But, yeah. No, it was, this was the first Smallville episode I've watched in some time since we started recording Always On Arrow,
mm-hmm,
and it was a delight. It reminded me why I love Smallville. And I think when I was going through this show, watching the episodes just back to back, eventually I started getting like fuzzy and just started just watching things. And I remember when this specifically happened, it snapped me back into Smallville. I was like, oh, this is cool. And it almost like saved the show for me. Because eventually I was just like, it's getting very, will they, won't they? Now Lana's with Lex, all these weird things. But then when I saw the Green Arrow, I was like, oh, it's a superhero on the show finally. And like, we kind of just like,
yep,
like went with that. So Arrow like saved my Smallville fandom.
Wow.
You know, so he gets a lot of credit from me, which is probably why I ended up following the next show and all those things now. So
and here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
And here we are.
Well, there'll be plenty to dissect as we go through the episode. So let's get into it. Arrow, but not that Arrow. Smallville's Arrow.
Bum, 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 bum.
The Green Arrow Bandit. Doesn't really roll off the tongue. This guy steals your boss's necklace and then gasses you and your cousin all within a 24-hour period. I'd say he's got a thing for you.
Well, when you're my editor, I'll remember to care what you think.
You know that whole sugar and spice thing? Never really took with you, did it?
Look, Green Arrow, green eggs and ham, it doesn't really matter what I call this guy, I'm gonna have his face plastered all over the front page soon enough.
Well, unless I'm missing something, and without that ring, you're not nearly as close to IDing this guy as you claim to be.
Yeah, that. Well, I might have stretched the truth just a little.
Okay, well, you know, it's a good thing that the Inquisitor doesn't pride itself on integrity. Listen, I don't like the idea of you dangling yourself out as bait in front of this guy, you know? I mean, anyone after the Green Arrow is gonna come after you.
Anyone after the Green Arrow is a friend of mine, and I will be sitting front and center with them when they lock this guy up.
Arrow is the fourth episode of Smallville's sixth season. It aired on October 19th, 2006. It was written by Kelly Saunders and Brian Peterson and directed by Michael Roll. So we start out with some stock footage of Metropolis that we've had since season one. Mm-hmm. and we cut to a...
party scene?
Yeah.
Fundraiser, party.
It's some kind of thing that Lionel has organized to get Martha plugged into the who's who of Metropolis to get her to... involved with the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, she's making a U.S. Senate run.
Because she's a state senator now. So you can learn so much about politics while she's small, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
That if your spouse dies, you can take their job.
Yeah.
That's what I learned from U.S. politics.
And very true to life, it's all controlled by private interest people with lots of money.
Yeah, and yeah, as we see, because, you know, by this room, there's like three people of color in that room, I think, maybe. And one of which is the brother in the front row that had like this extra colorful vest. I was like, why'd y'all have to do that?
Yeah.
Come on now. I did make note, though, in this scene that there is a Martha and a significant necklace is being worn by this Martha.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. But Lois is the one with the pearl necklace. At least.
Exactly. Yeah, that was neat.
So, yeah, Martha, she has this necklace on and she's like, all dressed up. She's like, I don't know about how I feel about wearing this. And I was like, oh, it looks great. It's better than being in the Luther Corp safe or whatever. I'm like, oh, is this going to be like a Martha-centric episode? Like, just remove yourself from what you know. It's like, oh, we're starting out with Martha. Maybe this will be one of these great Martha Lionel episodes. No, this is her only scene in the episode. So don't get used to Martha. People will always talk about Martha later on, but this is her only scene. And Lionel's like, oh, it's on the neck of a beautiful woman. Like, he's just being thirsty. But he starts giving some speech about like, oh, hello, friends. I'm going to introduce you to a new friend, Martha Kent. And he's up there and she's right there and all these people are watching them. So it's clearly about her. But some of the funny stuff here, right, is Lois and Oliver. Right. Mm-hmm. I have always really enjoyed Lois and Oliver's relationship on Smallville. I think they fit pretty well together. And so, Kev, what did you think about Lois and Oliver, knowing that, like, wait a minute, it's supposed to be Lois and Clark. What's this about?
I mean, so that was kind of like Lois's role at that time. Mm-hmm. But no, they had great chemistry together because they had personalities instead of just stoic, I do the right thing all the time, which is fine, stoic Clark. But no, just their little banter they had, the jokes that she told while she was meeting all like the affluent people, like they were fine. I thought they were probably the reason why I enjoyed Oliver Queen's character so much, because he was so different than all the other men in the show. He had a personality, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's kind of embarrassing him by asking questions that are awkward because she hasn't been in this environment before.
Yeah.
So, although she does work for Martha, so actually, now I think about it.
Yeah. But I don't think she talks as much, though. Like, you know, I think she's like kind of more kind of background when she works with Martha.
Right. But I like their vibe. And he's like, I'm going to go get a drink. And he sneaks off and like, oh, he's actually going to go
get a drink and have both of them.
There it is.
Yeah.
But he's actually going to go change into his Green Arrow outfit, which I can only assume he has hidden in a trash can on a stairwell somewhere. See, the thing about this Oliver Queen, though, he doesn't have to put on that eye paint for like half an hour. He just puts on some cool shades.
No, he wears cool sunglasses.
Yep.
Now, those cool sunglasses, which everyone will joke about forever, and rightfully so, they got some Iron Man heads-up display in them, as we see later in the episode.
Right? Yeah, they do.
Queen Industries tech. But they're sunglasses, bro. They're
Those
Oakleys.
Things are goofy looking.
Yeah.
Those things are goofy looking.
Oliver sneaks out, and Lionel starts giving that speech. Mm-hmm. And what do we see, Lance? What comes through the room?
An arrow. A green arrow.
A green.
It's legit like an arrow entrance.
Martha Kick.
He shoots.
U.S. Sail this city.
No, he shoots like, you know, the circuit breaker,
same
right?
Same sound effect, am I
yeah.
right?
Basically, yeah.
It's the same, one sound effect.
No, it's the same sound effect. I have to go back and check on that one.
Yeah, but like he shoots the thing and like, you know, to kill the lights. Unfortunately, he doesn't like, you know, like zoom in or anything. Like he just runs
well,
through the
see,
room.
This is Nikkev's point. It's like it's less. Yes. He just kind of jogs in. Yeah. Takes Knuckles and jogs away.
Casually, too.
Nobody tried to stop him.
Lois is the only one.
Yes.
And then she doesn't need to do this, but she feels the need to slap this tray out of this poor, you know,
waiter. Yeah.
And she follows him. And you know, he's grabbed Martha's necklace. He's gonna full Phantom of the Opera and just grab this necklace off her neck and run off. So she runs after him. And it's funny, rewatching this, I had misremembered this a lot because again, season 6 and 7 is kind of like my least encyclopedic memory and fandom of the show. So I thought like he had taken the necklace, put it on, and then she had grabbed that necklace off his neck and gotten it back. And that's not the case, right? Because she catches up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he has his bow and arrow, but it contracts.
Yeah, it flips
what
around.
Do you guys think about the whole Iron Man suitcase suit of his bow and arrow on this show.
It made it multi-purposed. Like he used it for different things throughout the episode, like he used it to, like, you know, zip line through it. It was cool then. Now that I've seen Arrow, I like just it being a bow and him kind of just using it. But I guess it made sense. They didn't want him doing whatever he was doing, running around with a big bow. Probably looks
right.
I mean, it couldn't look more silly than the glasses, but you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think they just didn't know what to do with it.
This guy's a what now? A bow and arrow?
Yeah, you know, because the joke that's always made, you know, in these shows, like the self-referential joke, is just like, oh, this guy with a bow and arrow. Like they just kind of like just like, oh, a bow and arrow. Like they always have that thing, and I think people's attitudes towards it kind of makes them think that like, well, what do we do with this thing? Like they think this is like, well, this is this ancient, archaic, like
extremely like deadly weapon.
Look, exactly, right?
It's an elegant weapon for a more civilized age.
Indeed.
All right.
We have to find a way to make it cool.
A lot of the time, this is a big criticism of Green Arrow when he comes back on Smallville as a regular in season 8 through 10. He almost never has his full bow and arrow. He has his little crossbow.
Crossbow
Huntress's his weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what he has. He's transitioned to the crossbow, and he's going to use it to Batman out on like an elevator shaft. By the way, they're on the
39th
floor of Luther Corp. Which is, there's no way that's a 39th floor. That's a high building. Metropolis has some small skyscrapers if that's the case. Because remember, it's taller than the Daily Planet, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on how many floors are on Luther Corp moving up. There's just a lot of shots with a 39 behind him. That's why I take note of it. But he's going to go up this empty elevator shaft. But Lois catches up to him. And you see this necklace on his, you know, he's wearing. I'm like, oh, that's the Martha. I had remembered that. Oh, that's the necklace that Martha was wearing, right? No, he's wearing his parents' wedding ring, as we find out, which is dad's.
Yeah,
it's only
one of the two. Yeah,
or is it some kind of like crest?
Well, the crest was on the inside.
It has the crest
on
the inside of the ring.
It's yeah,
very
so it's like
obvious.
It's like the Spectre
crest.
Ring from James Bond. Like, why are you doing this? Like,
why are you wearing this?
Yeah, does this ever come up again on the show?
I don't know.
Maybe he's like, you know what? I shouldn't do that because people can just grab it and find out why.
It's just like,
dumbest thing.
Yeah. It's like, you're supposed to be like this highly skilled person, like as Clark later says in the episode.
Like,
it's like, he's like,
thief,
the guy's good. Yeah.
He's a
and
thief.
Like, and you just let Lois casually take your stuff and you didn't even notice?
You have a dangling necklace from your unzipped jacket to get snatched off your neck. It's ridiculous.
She does say, give me the necklace. And I'm like, it's Martha's necklace. But then she grabs a different necklace. So that's my confusion. You guys can follow me there, right?
No, I see.
No, I'm with
you. If you're that guy, you cannot like get your stuff taken, period. What is this, Friday? Like when the dude gets his chain took?
Also, look, I mean, I know we joke on Arrow about how people couldn't recognize that Oliver Queen. But how the heck she didn't recognize?
She's 2 inches away from
that's right.
He even like tilts his head up while he's talking to her. Like, look, it's me
with my sunglasses.
But he has a slightly different mechanical voice, guys.
Oh yeah, it's,
you
but
forgot
yeah, so,
to say please.
He essentially has a dog tag hanging out his neck with his social security number on it, and she just pulls it, and he gets caught because of that. So this is our master thief Green Arrow bandit.
It's Green Arrow. He clearly hasn't been doing this for a while because he doesn't even have a name, right? They end up naming him later in this episode. But in Smallville, the official companion, season 6 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. Writer Kelly Saunders had this to say about this very thing you're talking about, Kev. Quote, "It's the same way she can't figure out Clark through one pair of glasses. Who would ever be that obvious? He would never be that obvious, so it couldn't possibly be him." She says that in reference to the fact that he dressed up as Robin Hood in the last episode.
Yep. And shot a bow and arrow in front of her.
Come on. Like, this guy sucks about keeping a secret identity. He is very much like Batman in this way. And Bruce Wayne. Oh, yeah. Like, hey, I'm Bruce Wayne. You want my big secret?
Speaking of Batman.
This is, oh my God. This is one of my favorite moments of Smallville. He shoots up the elevator and this music's like, da, da, da. It's all these tones, right? But then you see that Lois has the necklace. And she opens her hand and you see the ring. And the music, I kid you not, we're going to edit it in here, but it goes, yep. Da, 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 da. That is the Danny Elfman Batman theme. Yeah. Huh? What were you trying to kid?
Different key, same rhythm, same feel. Like, it's the same thing.
But I'm all about that. I'm like, that's hilarious. Great. I love that theme. He is Batman on the show. Let's lean into it. They never use it again. It's hard to like put in context now because all this Green Arrow stuff are going on. This is the first time we've seen him as the Green Arrow on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is establishing him and what he does, and this is his theme. Like, da, 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 da. I mean, like, that is so in your face. And I would have loved if they kept using it, but I mean, they can't even use the Superman theme, so I guess it makes sense they couldn't keep using the Batman.
Yeah.
Dude, Warner Brothers found out. I was like, hey, cut that out.
You got to call from upstairs.
It's too late to fix it now for this episode, but don't do it again.
That must have been it. But like, I applaud their attempt because it was amazing. Because I even remember when last time I watched, I must have been like back in the doorway watching. It's like, wait, what? Was that the Batman?
Yep.
That was an incredible moment. But then, yeah, he Batman's out the elevator shaft, and but Lois has that ring.
Yep.
So then we cut to the opening credits.
I miss opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you guys wish Arrow had opening credits, by the way?
I wish I had a song to sing annoyingly to my family throughout the house for Arrow, like I do Smallville.
You know what the song would have to be for Arrow, right?
Oh, no.
Imagine Dragons.
Yep. I'm sure somebody on YouTube has already made a similar opening credits with Imagine Dragons.
I don't know if they've done Imagine Dragons. Come on, I'm sure they've done something.
I'm pretty sure they've done it with Smallville. Yeah. Like, they've done it with Somebody Save Me.
Absolutely. No, yeah, I'm sure they have. So they get the opening credits, and we come back, and then Lois is being interrogated. Who is this guy? Like, why is this person interrogating Lois?
I can't remember.
Because he's the guy later. He's not the same guy later on that kidnaps her. I don't know. He looks like Budget Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
That's how I refer to this guy. Yes. And Rutger Hauer's already been on the show, so that's not a slight on Smallville. Mm-hmm. It's just like, well, we can't use him. Look at this other guy. But she's being interrogated about, like, oh, you have no more description. You caught up to him, but you know nothing. She's playing coy. She's not saying anything, right? And they're Oliver's penthouse, by the way. And we have our, our BVS moment where they shake hands.
We do. We do. Yeah. We have the meeting of the two heroes.
It's like, Oliver Queen, I'm Clark Kent. They have a close up of the handshake, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then in the handshake, though, like, they separate, and you get to see the crest.
You see the crest.
The obvious.
This is the Green Arrow.
Green Arrow crest.
if somehow when Oliver Queen walked away to get drinks and you didn't know that was him that came back in the costume, he is the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy, it's terrible at keeping his secret identity.
He's
like,
you know, so
that's you know what, we joke about Batman and Batman Returns, he has the giant bat signals in his study. That's the equivalent. It's not just a coat of arms. It's green arrows in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is your deal? But hey, credit to Clark. He's actually observant and remembers this. Clark's getting smarter, y'all.
For now. But it's also interesting to know, though, he makes fun of both Clark and Lois for probably having a crush on each other, which is pretty good. It's like he's observant, and he catches the obviousness of the situation there.
Yeah, because Clark went to go see her.
To check out.
Oh, my mom said you'd be here. Right? And it's like, okay. Yep. Yeah. And then it says, oh, Smallville, you must be Clark. Oh, you're not. I expected to be more Clark's like, geeky.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that's, again,
2006.
Yeah, because Tom Welling is a geek.
Like, they try to apply, like, future Clark Kent stuff. They're like, oh, goofy Clark Kent, where's the bumble? What happened to the bumbling nerd? What are you talking about?
There's nothing bumbling.
This guy was the quarterback of his football team. They won the state championship 2 years ago.
He's a 6'4" model.
He dated the object of everybody's desire in town.
Yep.
Right? He's best friends with billionaire
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor.
And pretty soon, billionaire Oliver Queen.
Yep.
This dude just hangs out with billionaires, dates hot chicks. Dates hot chicks, has a Letterman jacket. This guy is the best of all of us. And yes. People are like, I thought you'd be a loser because you wear flannel.
The funniest thing is, though, when like these other people try to pick on him, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, it was more in high school. That, what are you going to do about a kid? And like, I don't know. He'd probably kick your ass even if I didn't have powers. Yep. You know? Anyway.
Oh, my God.
But, all that to say, we're joking about it, but I do love the dynamic they set up here.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, Lois and Oliver and Clark. And Oliver, like you said, Lance, he's observant, so he's kind of giving them a hard time.
Yeah.
And Lois is like, well, I'm going to go while you guys are kind of, like, establishing your turf, which, by the way, is not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. She's like, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to leave because they
both,
like.
I got super strong Felicity vibes when she said that, too. I don't know. I could imagine her saying that. I will say this, though. Hot take. I do like this Oliver Queen more. Like, just his delivery, the way he speaks. Just the fact that he seems to be that billionaire kind of playboy guy. Mm-hmm. Like, Oliver, I guess, is Stephen Amell's Oliver is a more modern one, mm-hmm. you know, a few years later. But there's not much difference from Oliver Queen eventually than the Green Arrow as the show progresses.
Oh, yeah.
Just the same person. I like how there's kind of two distinct people here. Now, that Oliver still does crack jokes when he's in his Green Arrow costume. He does it a lot throughout this episode. But I was really digging just Justin Hartley's Oliver Queen. I was into
it. It's very much, you know, from the page. A lot of his antics.
Now that I've read some comics, I can agree.
We get, you know, our meeting of the heroes here. And little do we know that they're going to really become the world's finest later on this show. The show knows it's important, but even as viewers and the show itself, we didn't know how important that was going to be because this dude, he was going to be on the show as the main character the last 3 years. This is his introduction. And everything is kind of, you know, it's paced out differently here because this isn't just like, it's not like Cyborg or Aqua or Run, right? Where it's like we have one episode and we're introducing this character and we have a story with them and then they have to date Lois. And then the story's over, right?
That is a requirement.
Yeah.
with the exception of Run.
Right. And Cyber. We make a joke about Lois. Lois really doesn't date that many random people before Clark. We joke about it.
Yeah.
But she had a string there. It was Aquaman. It was the Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Green Arrow.
Yep.
And then her ex-boyfriend was the guy from Battlestar Galactica who was a super soldier.
Mm.
But I think that's it. You know? I mean, we give Lois a bad rap about that. So let's, you know, keep that in perspective. Also, I do like, again, referencing how he's Batman, right? I enjoy stuff like World's Finest, like in the animated series, DCAU, where Bruce Wayne comes to town and, like, dates Lois and, like, upsets Clark. Like, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, that makes sense. To me, that stuff doesn't feel forced. It feels natural. So, and I think.
No, I agree.
It could have felt forced here, but it didn't. And I've always been a fan of the relationship. What I'm not a fan of is the B plot of this episode. Like, I completely forgot about this. Like, I remember this happening, but it's like, oh, it's this episode. And this is another one of those episodes of Smallville where it's like, we have this B plot we need to put in an episode. I guess we'll put it in this one because it has nothing to do with the A plot. Lex and Lana, and they're like, who's lying to who and who can we trust? And we got to resurrect Brainiac. Like, this is nothing. I didn't like this. It was interesting. Like, I don't want to spend too much time talking about it. We're just going to move on because we're here to talk about Arrow. But it's a whole subplot, and the twist at the end is like, Lionel and Lex were both in on it, testing if Lana could be trusted. I'm like, what? Like, I just don't like, honestly, what this does to Lana's character right there, because she's becoming more and more like Lex all the time.
She is.
That's terrible.
It's annoying. Like, their relationship is annoying. And so, like, anything that has to do with it at this point, and this point moving forward until it ceases, is just annoying.
Yeah, no, I third that. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand why they're together other than that the show wanted the conflict of the triangle, but like it just doesn't make sense for her to be there in that context. Like they could have found something else to do with her that would have been better for her character and just Kristen to do something.
Right, and have some agencies. Like, oh, well, who am I dating this season? Right, because that's the weakest parts of Lana. I mean, we talk about Lois. Like, Lana's the one like, all right, I'm dating the high school quarterback.
Inappropriate.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, so that was no, okay. No.
Yeah, that was okay.
Well, was it?
Well, it was a senior and a freshman.
More appropriate than the high school teacher.
Let's what not about when he tried to marry? He asked. He wanted to marry her before he went to war.
Oh
she
yeah,
was 14
oh,
yeah. years old.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, no, I say they're 15 in season one.
15. There it is. That's better.
In Kansas, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
So that was fine. But then season two was like on and off again with Clark. Season three, Adam Arkandyte. Yeah. Right, but the thing was, right, we talk about that. They weren't even really in a relationship. They
nope.
didn't kiss.
Nope.
No.
Like, come on. But that was that. I mean, she had a subplot. He wasn't a main character, right? Season four, Jason Teague, the high
inappropriate.
School, the high school football coach at her school. Season five, it was Clark, and season six is Lex.
Yep.
And then it's like Clark again, and she leaves.
Yeah.
So that's what we make, what we criticize Lois for. Lana does on a much larger, more destructive scale for, like, you know, story wise, in my opinion.
You are correct. I have seen the light. You are correct.
But yeah, you know, this is another scientist guy comes in, Dr. Grohl.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, oh, I'm sure they're kicking themselves for having used Dr. Hamilton already.
Yeah.
But it's okay. We're going to have another Dr. Hamilton.
They couldn't even use, like, you know, Dr. Grell, like Mike Grell, like a Green Arrow comic book writer. That's like, right. They could have just changed one letter. Like, that would have been a nice little Easter egg.
Dr. Smith for Kevin Smith.
Something, you know?
Also, you know he's a doctor because every time he speaks, he adjusts his glasses.
Well, I don't know, Miss Lang. Right?
But
I don't do well to threats. Like, he's just like, dude, chill out, man.
Right.
He just wanted to get into his acting.
But this guy, this guy looks familiar. Oh, it's because he's in more episodes of Smallville. He is. He's in two episodes of season six. He comes back as the same character in two episodes of season eight, which I'm like, continuity. But also, he was the guy in Nicodemus, where the episode starts out, and he's like, I want to talk to Lionel Lothar. Like, he's the guy freaking out on the phone. He's that same guy. Okay. Right? You could have made him the same character because he worked for Luthor Corp, couldn't you? So headcanon, same guy, just like the girl from, let me think about this, the girl from Thirst. Oh, no, not the girl from Thirst. Sorry. Different Lana people doing drugs or getting messed up in college episode. The girl from Void could be the same girl from Forever. Different, same actress, different characters. You can kind of connect the dots. Anyway, that's this guy. He's just a plot point here, and we'll move on. But it's like this whole chess game between Lex and Lionel, but they're on the same side.
Yeah.
Trying to test Lionel. I don't buy that.
It's weird.
I don't like it. But anyway. So we go from that. We go to the Daily Planet. And Lois has arrived to be criticized again for interest in journalism by Chloe. And I'm like, well, what do you do? I understand now why I felt the way I did about Lois, like, getting into all this stuff at the time. Like, the show seems to not want me to do this. Like, we have, like, Clark and Chloe are continuing, like, oh, here for another story, Lois? Ha! I'm like, why you have this attitude? Like, I don't understand. Like, you guys know what I'm saying?
They're hating on her.
Yeah, they're
haters. Yeah, Chloe especially. Like, I guess it's some, like, she's jealous that Lois is kind of honing in on her career, but
well, and like kind of like her thing, like taking over, like her, like, you know, her thing, because everybody has a thing, right? And so I think, you know, Chloe's just like, look, I've been the one that's, you know,
I've been mostly on this show.
Yeah, she's like, I'm the one who's interested in journalism. I'm the one that wants to have a career in this, and like I'm the one who's been investigating stuff since, you know, way back when, and like I'm the one that does all this stuff. And you just kind of did this, you know, 2 weeks ago, and you're already getting stories like in a newspaper. I'm sure that's frustrating.
Sure. But like they're family, they work at different companies, like let her do her thing. You don't gotta
I hear
much.
You, but I think that's probably what that's the justification of it.
That's probably her justification, yeah.
Yeah, and it also, like, Clark even mentions a familial, like, competitiveness that the two of them might have.
Yeah. I mean, if we want to get into the psyche of Chloe, everything she's wanted, someone has shown up and taken it to this point.
Yeah.
So like I probably it makes more sense for her to be a little irritated every time. Like, she's like, even this, someone's going to come in and take. Like, this, no one cared, but you're going to show up and take this suddenly? Okay. Yeah.
Like, I understand. It's a tricky transition, right? We're here. Yeah. We're in that transition period. And I've said it. You guys have heard me say it for years on the podcast, but it's like, you had a Lois. Here's a new Lois. They don't know how to have two of them. So they're like trying to transition the new one into what the old one was and all this thing. I understand their position, but they put themselves in this position.
They
right.
Did.
So that's why I feel okay commenting on how weird it is. Lois has brought Chloe some evidence. It's that ring we've talked about.
The one ring.
The one ring to rule them all. The one ring. It is. It's legit Frodo. It's like on his neck like a chain.
Yeah, it is.
And there's an inscription when he put it in the fire. But Chloe pulls out her 2006 camera, like Kodak, that we all had, and like takes some pictures of it.
Yep,
sure did.
And they're gonna do some research on it, right? They're gonna figure out what this inscription means, right?
No, they're not.
Because I can't tell that the inscription on the inside of this ring is the same one that's on my boyfriend's loft, like blown up to 30 feet and has a giant light behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, investigative reporting. Ooh, she's got a way to go. So, you know, we see that Chloe takes these pictures, and we'll take a screenshot of that. I love the old camera technology because, again, I had cameras like this.
Yeah.
But then we get another arrow.
We do.
We get a trick arrow.
We do. It's a yes. It's the knockout gas arrow.
Mm-hmm. And it knocks them out very quickly.
Yes, it does.
Shh. I'm like, how many people are at the Daily Planet right now? Yeah,
apparently none, except for those two.
It's one of those late nights they do in the basement where people, like, security just doesn't mind these two ladies just hanging out there every night.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, to your point, Kev, again, it's like one of the it's less Green Arrow because he just kind of comes in.
Yep.
Yeah. And just casually takes it.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's taking their evidence, but good thing Chloe got that picture of that. And again, like, I am getting a Batman vibe here, but it's not bothering me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, but as this episode goes further, like, this is not a story Batman would do. He wouldn't be like, I'm stealing from the rich to give to the poor. Like, no. This legit Robin Hood stuff.
Yes.
And so this story, what they understood, like, all right, he's going to be Batman when it comes to Superman, but we're actually going to give him, like, Green Arrow-esque things to do every now and then.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And like any good archer, he goes to his secret lair and he has a picture of his dead family
standing in front of the Queen's Gambit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought more like when, you know, Malcolm, and it's revealed that he's like, or one of the episodes where he goes to his little hideout, he's got the big fan behind him, you know, and he's looking at the picture of his wife and Tommy, right?
Yeah.
It's Oliver has a big clock behind him. He's looking at the picture of his family with the not Queen's Gambit. Yeah. You know? Robert and Moira Queen, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Their names.
Yeah. Let's just go with that.
Where was
Thea?
But Thea's not. They didn't have an affair in this universe. Air Throw 167, Moira and Robert had a solid relationship.
There we go.
So
they were
no
good
Thea.
People. They were good people. They didn't fail that city. They did not fail that city.
Imiko? Imiko?
No, Imiko.
No, Imiko.
This is a good Robert.
He does show up in season 7, those flashbacks, and I'm like 95% sure his name's Robert there as well. Like,
okay.
Why would you change the names, right? But we'll find out. So then we continue our Lana subplot. I like the scenes with Lionel in these, because
mm-hmm.
yeah. she comes to see him, and I'm like, has Lana been in this office ever before? I don't think so. She goes up to see Lionel in his office at Lucha Corp. And he's like, the last time we spoke, we were discussing who was going to kill Lex, you or me. I'm like, oh, finally some follow-up.
And I love how she responds to him at one point in this, quote, he wasn't himself.
Yes.
Like, she just comes out and says.
There it is.
We have a plus one for you're not, he wasn't himself. That's right.
But he does have a great comeback. He said, but you were yourself. Still planning on killing him. So.
Yep.
So again, Lionel and Lana are two characters that did never have a lot of scenes together.
Mm-hmm.
I think in season 4 is when he was like good Lionel wearing like his sweaters and telling him like, here's a map to China. Right?
Yep.
That's the last scene I can remember they had. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
No, but that's what you pulled out of that side of the good Lionel. It's like he's wearing sweaters. Here's a map to China. It's just like,
it's like Mr. Rogers like doing a segment on his show.
He takes off the trench coat. He puts on the sweater. Hello, neighbor. To talk to you about family today.
Oh my god.
Mr. Luther's Neighborhood.
Mr. Luther's Neighborhood. Big shot at Luther Corp.
On Channel 52.
Oh my gosh. So they talk about how Lionel's like, well, he has a piece of this technology and you have to destroy it, right? And you're like, oh, Lionel has found out about this, and they're both vying to figure out what to do with this technology. This makes sense. And Lana is caught in the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, why do you think I moved in with him? I'm going to keep an eye on him and protect him from himself. Like, that is BS of the highest order.
Yeah, that is not why you moved in, Lana.
That's not why you moved.
Like, let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, she had some good self-awareness in this whole thing up until now.
Yeah.
But anyway, that conversation happens, and then she goes to leave. And she goes to the elevator, and who is there but Dr. Grohl?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's convenient.
Incredibly.
And then they have he touches his glasses again, like you said,
yep.
Kev. And she's like, you must be here working for Lionel. And, you know, before you talk to him, you need to talk to us. I'm like, oh, it's us now.
Okay. Yeah.
And then she starts like, I know you got that new house. It would be a shame if something. It's like that meme where like, that's a nice house you have there. It'd be a shame if something happened.
Uh-huh.
Right? She pulls that meme out on this poor guy.
She does.
And he's like, I work for Lex, not his girlfriend.
She should have came back when. No, we are Lex Luthor now.
We
are Lex Luthor.
Oh, man. That's good. Oh, gosh. Always sell on the Flash, y'all. So,
oh, man.
But, yeah, this is Lana. She goes full Lex here. And this shows how, like, what a terrible influence he is on Lana Lang.
Yeah.
Where she is becoming Lex Luthor. And she is protective of Lex, but she's picked up some of his playbook, too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
She knows what this technology is. And she hasn't told them that she knows or told Lex that she
knows.
Oh,
yeah.
She saw Zod use it.
Yeah, she knows more than she's letting on, also.
Yeah.
And so, I think Lex knows that too.
Right, and that's the whole point of this whole game they're playing with Lana here. But then we cut to the Talon apartment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Clark is there with his newspaper. And by the way, for those of you who are like, that's out of order. I know.
We know.
All right. But the scene with Lana in the elevator should have happened right after this scene. Correct. I don't know why it's scenes later. Right. So anyway, talk about it now. We're done with it. I'm moving through that subplot quickly because I want to talk more about the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
So Clark is reading this newspaper about how.
Wait, is it Clark or is it Oliver reading the newspaper?
Oh, you're. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. Oliver's in the apartment. Yeah.
I forget what the main characters of the show. Sorry, because it's season six, the first half. But Oliver's reading this newspaper. And him and Lois are kind of going back and forth about like, well, was the Green Arrow really that bad? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's just making it clear that she's going after this guy and she's, you know, and he's wanting to get her off of the trail so much that he like offers us like, hey, let's go to Cancun. Party in Cancun. 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
He offered tequila. And we all know Oliver Queen loves and misses tequila.
That's true.
On both worlds. Oliver Queen loves tequila.
Absolutely.
And she has the sketch of the Green Arrow. Now, I will say, this is something I'll say. Smallville does better than the Arrow, right? Mm-hmm. A police sketch. Have you seen any police sketches? Right, it's a mm-hmm. straight on shot of somebody's face looking right in the camera because mm-hmm. it's like, have you seen this man? In the same form, like you take a passport photo or you know,
driver's license photo, right?
Driver's license.
Yeah,
Arrow. It's like this side angle of a guy in a hood. I'm like, that doesn't help anyone.
Yep. That's why he's a mystery.
That's why they couldn't find him. Wasn't
that
a good sketch.
That was hanging on the wall of the Starling City Police Department
for 3 years.
For 3 years.
Even Laurel has it, right?
We've
the lawyer there in a little wall weird, right? But we got the goofy sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes. It's hilarious.
Gives me a big Unabomber vibe, honestly, because he had sunglasses in
his.
If terrorists just, like Green Arrow recruiting people with abilities.
Yep.
I just made that connection. That's terrifying. That's terrifying.
So that's also where we get the drop of the Green Arrow Bandit, right?
The Green Arrow Bandit. He's like, it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
To quote Oliver Queen from Arrow, lame.
Lame.
They should have dropped the Green Arrow Bandit on Arrow at some point.
Yeah.
Much like they had Vandal Savage.
Yeah, but he wasn't stealing anything, though. So there was no reason to use the Bandit.
He stole money from Adam Hunt in the first episode.
He wasn't stealing things from people, multiple people each time.
He stole their lives from them, Lance.
Fair point.
There's a moment later on this episode that made us both laugh aloud because we watched it together.
Yeah,
where he puts some guy in his sights and then just moves the target up like another. Like, am I always gonna kill that guy?
Wrong show.
But yeah, Lois is not to be deterred. She's gonna get to the bottom of the story. And you know, we're joking about Lois, talking about Lois. I gotta say, this is the most Lois Lane Lois has been yet in the show. Mm-hmm. I really like her in this episode. She is really acting like Lois Lane. She's like, this is a story. I'm gonna get on it. I got this source. I'm not gonna tell people about it because I want to get the scoop. So I'm enjoying Lois and therefore enjoying Lois and Oliver as well in this episode. So let me cut to something. And I remember we were watching. And I was like, this is stock footage because it's like this demolished building. And then it just pans over and I'm like, oh, it's not stock footage. It's Lionel on a roof, on a parking lot roof with some construction people.
It was really weird because I don't think they've done anything like this in the show like this before.
No, they must have found some like, oh, they're tearing down that building. We got to go. Let's get John on top of this parking garage and go shoot up there, right?
Yeah, is that ever like referenced or like shown again? He was just like, just, and what was he even saying? He was like, oh, thank you, I see that now, and like walks off. It's like, what are you even talking about?
But I guess he says, like, I understand, thank you.
Yeah, I understand, thank you. And he just walks off, like, what? Like, John, just look, action, just say something and walk away.
I mean, it's repairs from Dark Thursday. I guess Clark, you know, stopped doing his repairs at some point.
Yeah.
But that's what we're to understand. And it's so weird because, hey, I love their own location, right? I love they're not some weird back lot where there's the overpass that we see sometimes.
Yeah,
but it's like, it's a great show. We pan over. And it's like one solid shot. And then he's like, says, oh, thank you. I understand.
Yeah.
And then Clark shows up and he walks over to him and shakes his hand. Like, it's like, it's really
that
weird.
That was weird. Yeah.
It just feels like, what am I watching? It's just an odd thing, right? Lionel tells Clark that it's like, oh, your mother did a great job at the thing. She made a terrific impression. Again, people talking about Martha, but she's not in it. And they do a West Wing walk and talk here.
Yeah.
Where he's like, well, I have to get to an appointment, but here's some exposition you're going to need for the rest of the episode.
Basically. You do have a plus for Blue Shirt, Red Jacket here.
That's right.
In this scene.
That's right. Plus one for Blue Shirt, Red Jacket. Clark does call him out on the fact that he never called the police about it because Chloe mentions that.
Oh, his Lois the things that were stolen?
Again.
Yeah.
Who's saying what anymore? I don't know. But Chloe and or Lois mentioned that to Clark earlier. And he's like, oh, well, you don't want to advertise your weaknesses to, you know. So I'm like, okay, I buy it. But it's shady stuff. If I were Clark at some point, I would have like called him out because Oliver eventually says, like, hey, all this stuff is off the black market.
Yeah.
So Clark could be like, hey, Ben, like, maybe you should send this back to whatever country that these warlord friends of yours stole it from.
Yep. But he doesn't.
But he hands him this like folder of like pictures of stuff, and there's only one place left
that hasn't been hit and stolen from.
And it's Safetex. Like, is this a Texas company or I
who knows? Is there a Texas in this universe? I know in the DC universe there is a place called Dos Rios because that's where Jaime Reyes is from.
Oh, from Young Justice.
Yeah. I like to have the equivalent of real city to DC city, and so I'm assuming that Dos Rios is San Antonio.
Okay.
That makes the most sense.
Two rivers.
Yeah.
That's like local Texas stuff. I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm with you.
So I don't know why Lionel's the guy to give Clark this exposition. Like, Chloe and or Lois could have done this.
Yeah.
Because this is not something that, I guess they had, we got Tom, we got John this one day. We want to shoot on top of this roof.
Mm-hmm.
What scene can we create? I don't know if that's what happened or not. But this leads to our first Green Arrow sequence, I guess, right?
Yeah.
He's shows him like getting ready and, you know, shooting an arrow and swinging across. Kev, what are your thoughts on this?
It's just so slow.
Yes. It's so like
everything is done so slow.
Very slowly. Like the way he winds up the bow is slow.
Yeah. You like, can hear the leather stretching. Slow. They have a sound effect when he draws back. It's like leather stretching, like his costume is too tight or something.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not just this scene either. It's not because like this scene is obvious that they're stretching it out so you can see. He's like, look how badass the Green Arrow is. But like the other scenes, like when, like, you know, like a little bit later, like when he's like fighting and like he's like, you know, doing what he's supposed to do, it's like it's still slow. It reminds me of like sorry for listeners out there that like, you know, are watchers of like Big Ten football. All right, like I have to dunk on that for a second. So like you watch that, but you watch like another conference, the Pac-12 or like the SEC or something like that. You watch like you compare games like that. It's like, are those dudes slow? Like if you watch Alabama play, it's like those dudes are moving very, very fast.
So much faster.
And you watch like Iowa, and it's just like, are these guys even moving fast? Like they should be, because everything seems to be moving very, 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 very
slow.
So
here's the nerd equivalent to what you're saying for the uninitiated in sports.
There we go.
So,
hey, I have to bring the always hold on to Arrow sports reference.
We have to.
This is a
we
true crossover, all right? So this is a New Hope's lightsaber fight, all right?
Okay.
Yes.
Arrow is the Phantom Menace lightsaber fight.
Yes.
That's what we're dealing with.
You've done it. You've there done it, Zach.
I bridged the
it.
Gap.
There it is.
You've done it.
Okay, so,
you've done it.
In the companion, Smallville's costume designer Caroline Cranston had this to say about the look, though, of the costume with the hood, because this is new for him to have a hood. She said, quote, "The hood idea came from Miles Millar from the beginning. They wanted a hood that would conceal his identity. The costume was mysterious and looked contemporary, sort of like biking leather. We definitely wanted to stay away from the tights kind of look. No flights, no tights for anyone on Smallville." But that's interesting because we take for granted now like this whole hood thing with the Green Arrow. Smallville did it first. Now, we joke about how the Flash had a red hoodie, right, and stuff like that. But I think with the Green Arrow, it makes perfect sense because he's Robin Hood, right? It works.
Visually, like, yeah, but like in the comic books, he's had a hood before, right?
Did he before? No, the New 52 he did, but that was after Smallville.
He has a hood in the Longbow Hunters.
When did that come out?
Like the 80s.
Well, that's news to me. I thought that was Smallville specific.
He
doesn't have his doesn't have his little hat, like his Peter Pan hat.
No, because like he moves to Seattle and like they tried to make him like, you know, more gritty, right? And so like he has a hood in that, and like, but I think most of the time he has it like down. But like I'm pretty sure that costume, that version of the costume, has a hood.
Let's look it up. Look it up.
All right,
I want to know.
He draws back. He shoots his arrow across, and he ziplines through. But even when he ziplined, I was expecting to hear the recent Arrow shows like little whine they do every time he does that.
Well,
it was
we hear
that.
So many of the other sound effects, like the arrow.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
oh,
you hear the arrow shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I wanted to hear the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. So I look it up. So the cover of The Longbow Hunters, it features him not only with his old costume with the hat, but also with a hood.
So what they've done is they've taken the Sunday alternate jersey to go back to sports for the Green Arrow, and they made it the everyday costume.
They're taking their Color Rush outfits.
Yep. Well, the Thursday night football jerseys.
This is the first live action Green Arrow to have the hood. Okay, so I'm right. So But this is the moment. This is the moment that we were laughing about Lance when we were watching it, because like before he does his extremely slow swing across the city, he like has his heads up display on his sunglasses, mm-hmm. which we were just going to assume those are very sophisticated Queen Industries.
$500 sunglasses, you asshole.
Thanks, Johnny Cage.
That was a good pull.
That's what we're going to assume. And he has like his sights set on the like that guy that they met earlier.
Yes.
Like, oh, is he gonna kill this guy? Yeah. Target. And then he just moves up like three or four stories.
Hey,
like,
that dude would have been dead in 2013.
Yeah.
He would have failed that city real quick, man.
Yeah. So then he goes over the roof, and that's the thing, right? With Smallville, like I know now it's all so dated, like you guys are saying. But when Smallville in 2006, Clark doesn't do anything like this.
No.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, and that's the thing about it. Like, although like we're clearly making fun of it because it was so slow, we had not seen anything like this, and it was still the coolest
thing ever.
At
the time, it was cool as hell.
Yeah, it was cool, man.
And it's still cool.
It's still cool.
It's just funny.
You can't compare the two.
Yeah, because like when we watch Arrow, like we're legit watching an action movie like every single episode.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point, Zach, like when I first saw New Hope, that was the coolest thing I ever seen.
Yeah.
And then when I saw Phantom Menace, the end of it, I was like, that's the coolest thing I ever seen. You know? So like, yeah, I mean, it tracks. It's just funny. Like, and it's limited because the show was limited. It's that Smallville charm almost.
Well, that's the thing. Like, had they truly done a Green Arrow spinoff show of this, I think they would have used him to his full potential. Right. But he was always a guest star or a supporting main cast member. And this isn't the Green Arrow. As us were joking about season 6 of the Green Arrow show, mm-hmm. he's not the focus here. Our focus has to be on, like, we can spend our budget on Kryptonian stuff, mm-hmm. and Phantoms. Yeah. Right? We don't have time to do this kind of thing. He does his tuck and roll when he goes across the roof, and he comes into some, like, basically this museum. And
another slow wind up to shoot the crystal arrow.
To shoot the green lasers out of his sleeve.
Why are they green? Is it because he's the Green Arrow?
He's the Green Arrow, man. That's why.
What Mission Impossible style laser security systems are supposed to be red. We all have seen this. Yes. I've never seen a green one. But it really is cool, and it's iconic, and it reminds me of that shot in season 1 of Arrow, mm-hmm. where Oliver's at the top of the stairs, and it's like a hero shot of him when he's like in the Huntress episodes, right?
Yeah.
This Oliver, he's like silhouetted behind the green light, and he's like standing in front of him. Like, that's a cool shot. Mm-hmm. I really like that. But then we get our Superman shows up to meet Batman for the first time and doesn't like his methods scene.
Yeah.
And Clark, like, straight up, like, he tries to, he's like, haven't you heard? I'm the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, if you go to the promos for this, hashtag it's all connected. It's like the Phantom Menace trailers, where they don't change Natalie Portman's voice. She's like, I will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war, mm-hmm. right? In the trailer. But if you go to the movie, she's like, I will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war. Right? So it's like that. Because in the promo for this, he's like, he's Justin Hurley. He's like, haven't you heard I'm the Green Arrow, right? Like, he's like, hey, haven't you heard I'm the Green Arrow? And I appreciate the fact they did the technical voice, because that has gone into Arrow itself. Mm-hmm. That's why Arrow waited a few episodes. They're like, crap, I can't completely rip off Smallville.
Yeah.
But when he first started talking to Laurel, he like, got to change his voice. Mm-hmm. Batman, Ben Affleck's Batman has done that now.
That's true.
Like, yeah. Rubber baby Bobby Buggy Bumpers or whatever.
You said every other. You said every other B word, but what was said?
Yep.
You say burner baby. What did you say?
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Right? Is that what he says? I don't know. So.
Oh my god!
Is that something from Rugrats?
I've heard that in a lot of things. I don't know what they are right now.
Rugrats.
Yep.
Classic. Love Nick Cage. Doug is my favorite. So, always a lot of Doug coming soon.
I'm going to start singing Banging on a Trash Can in a second.
Drumming on a street light.
Yeah, I got to think big, man.
The Beast.
Well done.
Very good, very good. So Clark comes in here. He's like, who are you? And he says, I'm the Green Arrow. And he's like, I hope you enjoyed your cult status while it lasted, right? Yep. I'm like, what is this? Why are we trading barbs now? I don't know. But Green Arrow decides to punch Clark. And of course, Clark blocks his punch. Mm-hmm. He's like, what? And then Clark throws him 20 feet.
Yep.
But since he's the Green Arrow, he doesn't pass out. He gets up.
Yeah. He gets up. He takes it. He tries to shoot him.
He tries to shoot him in the face.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't know Clark is. This is the equivalent of when Superman was going to punch Batman's face off in BVS, but he didn't know he didn't have powers, you know, and it would have killed him. So Oliver Queen here doesn't know that Clark Kent is invulnerable, but he's going to shoot him in the face with an arrow.
Yeah.
But Clark gets out of the way, and instead he shoots a security guard.
Yeah.
With the electric stunning,
yeah.
Toxic dot. Keep going back to Star Wars. But this is a cool moment. I do enjoy. Of course, Clark's in his red and blue.
Yeah.
And Oliver's in his costume, and I like this little first meet of the two heroes.
Mm, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do always like how it's always somehow expressed that, like, okay, Oliver Queen was thrown 20 feet. And what he says to Clark is, "Was like, I'm not the only one who has a secret." It's like, yeah. Come on,
classic
man.
Classic Smallville.
That's what you'd say after that? Yep. I'm like, what the hell? How did you do that?
But Clark, being his weakness being people, right? Yeah. He sees that since he super like dodged the arrow that Oliver was going to shoot at his face.
Yeah.
And it shot that other. It would have just stunned him, but still, an arrow to the face. It shot a security guard in the shoulder. Clark goes to check on him, and then Oliver takes off.
He ninjas off.
With the item that he had come to steal.
Some Egyptian.
Steal from the rich and give to the poor, right? So then we go to commercial, we come back. This is where the scene where Lana and Dr. Grohl are apparently lying. Okay, this is why I brought it up when we did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Lana is wearing the same clothes.
Yes.
She's at Luther Corp.
Yes.
She just left her meeting from Lionel, presumably.
Yes.
Why is this scene like 8 hours later?
What day is it? What time is it?
What day is it? What time is it? Because Lionel was on that rooftop with Clark, you know, mm-hmm. talking about stuff earlier. So I don't know. Right, I don't know there, but maybe she went to see Lex at work that day.
Who knows?
But part of her suspicion was she was like, just saw Lionel and that dude was there. Yeah. So, and then she just stops the elevator,
she
like,
does.
Emergency stop. Don't be abusing that privilege. This ain't Star Trek. You say, computer, hold. This is a public elevator. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Clearly not a lot.
Yep. It's all good.
But then Clark goes to talk to Chloe. He tells her that the Green Arrow got away, and he's like, "You hit a lot of gadgets, okay?"
Yep. And he's like, "He's good, man." And Chloe's like, "Fine, I won't press it."
But Chloe is not impressed by the name that Lois has given her as Green Arrow Bandit.
Yeah.
Again, reinforcing that, haha, Lois is not as good as Chloe at her job. It's like, why? What do you want me to think and feel, Joe? I'm confused.
I'm like, so confused.
Tell me what to think and feel. I want to be on the same page as you, but you keep sending me mixed messages about these sorts of things.
Man, that sounds like high school.
First of all, Chloe found that the arrow is made from titanium no one can trace.
Mm-hmm.
Felicity, right? I'm sorry, what, who? Yeah, exactly. Who did?
It's at this dock down by...
Yeah.
It's going to blow up if you go there.
Sagittarius Industries.
We were all thinking it, right? But she also tells Clark that, I didn't get anything off that image, but my computer is doing the enhance thing,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't tell Lois that because we're rivals when it comes to journalism.
Yep, and then Clark just smiles. It's like, oh, my girl Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Again, what do you want me to think and feel?
You'll always be there. You'll always be there for me. It's fine. You'll do whatever I want. You'll smile at me. I can just take advantage.
Oh, man.
That's what he does.
We cut back to the Talon apartment, and Lois is getting calls about people saying they're the Green Arrow, but apparently they've been writing them on Hello Kitty.
Yeah, notepads.
Notepads, which is amazing. And then she gets ambushed in her home by these two goons, and she fights them off pretty well,
mm-hmm.
Grabs her cell phone.
Calls Chloe,
mm-hmm. right? And Chloe's like, hey, what's up, Lois? You here for another stupid article? No, that's not what she said. But that's the vibe we're getting from her this episode. But the phone is left open on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Just like Taken.
Yeah, it is very much like Taken. Don't know who you are. A very particular set of skills that you don't have because I'm a journalist and you just became one. So Lois gets, you know, taken away. But she's like, Chloe, help, Chloe. And Chloe hears this on the phone, right? Now, I'm convinced... This is stock footage of Clark at the Daily Planet because Clark
is not wearing his jacket.
He's been wearing his red jacket this entire time. Okay. Blue shirt, but the red jacket on top of it. Okay. So then Chloe gets this phone call from Lois, right? She hears it and we cut to Clark reacting to it and he's not wearing his jacket.
Correct.
And then we get some ADR from Chloe. She's, what'd she say? Like,
Lois is in trouble. Something.
Yeah.
I think she's in trouble.
Yeah, but it's clearly ADR. It clearly sounds different than everything else.
Her tone didn't match anything. Like,
yeah. Sounds like Lois is in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. The reason I think this is because we hear that and we see this random shot of Clark like in his blue shirt, like just listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you telling me We have a counter on this podcast. You know, he has worn this shirt in 42 episodes so far. You're telling me you couldn't find another shot of him in the Daily Planet office just standing there listening to someone telling him what he should be doing?
Apparently not.
Apparently
but
not.
Anyway, that's my... You agree?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. Because the next time we see him, he's super sped all the way back to the towel and he has his jacket on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the tell to me. Like, if he showed up in his blue shirt, I'm like, oh, he took it off. But anyway. But he speeds back to the Talon. He finds her cell phone, and Oliver shows up at the exact time.
He sure does,
which is very convenient, I think.
Yeah, and he has like dinner or something.
Yeah, I guess it was going to be some kind of date. but he's like, "Who would take Lois?" Because Clark's like, "They've taken Lois. They've taken her." And Oliver's like, "Who would have done this?" And Clark's like, well, isn't it obvious? The Green Arrow Bandit.
So obvious.
Yeah. By the way, episode title said episode many times because of, Arrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of Arrow and Taken, that movie also features one Miss Katie Cassidy.
Yes, it does.
Yes, Katie Cassidy is one of the friends who doesn't make it.
Yeah,
she does not make it. She got took.
She got took. but anyway, we have a kind of a conflict of ideology here, right?
Yes.
Because Clark's like, man, that guy's a criminal. And Oliver's like, well, if you actually looked up where those things came from and where they were returned to, you would see that they were stolen and he was just returning them to who they'd been stolen from. And Oliver Clark, I'm like, whoa, man, you're really defensive about this Green Arrow. Uh-huh.
How do you know all these things, Oliver Quinn?
I know. But then this is when both of their phones start acting up at the same time. Clark gets a text from Chloe saying, call me. And then Oliver has his tracking system going on his BlackBerry, which is pretty funny.
BlackBerry alert.
Yep.
Oh, man. 2006.
I know. Back in the day.
Yeah. So they have to. It's classic. Like, we both have a secret and we have to leave, but we're not going to.
It's the Batman Returns moment.
Yeah.
I got to get to the plaza.
I will relay the message. So then Clark goes to the watchtower, the clock tower. I use it interchangeably. I'm sorry, Matt Shrooks, that I've transfer that over to you now or you mess up as well. But Clark goes over there and he just ruins Oliver's place. Like, I can only imagine how expensive that cool door is that opens up with the clock face, but he just rips it open.
He can afford it.
Yeah, that's true. He can afford it. Can afford to buy me a new door.
There it is.
So, Batman forever.
So he opens up his door and then opens his drawers and Oliver Queen has taken out cutouts of newspapers and just laid them in. So my thought is, when he pulled those out, wouldn't they have just flown everywhere?
You would think, yeah. Especially if that AC was going in that apartment.
And now I'm just picturing Oliver Queen just sitting there with like a little pair of kid scissors, just cutting newspaper articles out.
It's like, don't you need a binder for this?
Like this is his weapons locker. His locker. I would have thought, like, that's like a tool bench, and I thought, oh, there are tools in here. No, it's just little newspapers.
Just newspaper articles.
He brought all that with him to Metropolis?
I guess so.
Yeah. Like, come on, bro. Does he have a storage unit in Star City?
Yeah, or like, a trophy case like Batman does for all this stuff.
So this is a way for Clark to see that, oh, the Green Arrow does some good. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of clunky, though. Fun of it here, so.
No, I agree. But it's fine.
It's fine. But it should have been a cooler presentation.
Yeah.
But then it would be more conceited if he had like a trophy room of his own, like a Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Batman, he doesn't have newspaper articles written by Vicki Vale about how awesome Batman is. He says Two-Face's costume over there for some reason.
Yeah.
So what should have happened is when he pulled it open, a giant computer started saying intruder alert, and then it opened up a gate, and he could have walked into his lair and saw everything. And then
his
motorcycle.
Everything.
Yeah. That's what I would have hoped to see instead of newspaper clippings. That's something I would do. Not the Green Arrow. like I would have cut out my high school stuff. Like, this is what I did in high school. Like, that's kind of stuff I'd do.
Exactly. So Clark does see that BlackBerry alert that's at Safe Techs or whatever.
Yeah.
Lois is there and she's being waterboarded. Right? Yeah. Is that the proper term?
She's being dunked in a tub.
Yeah. Just again and again and again by these two goons. And they're like, what do you do about the Green Arrow?
And she's ready to die for this.
Not Rutger Hauer from earlier.
Yeah.
He's upset about the article Lois wrote.
Yeah.
His role is very vague. He's like in two scenes, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I call him Budget Rucker Hauer, but he's like, he asks her some stuff, and she doesn't know anything, and he's like, whoa, she doesn't know anything. Kill her.
Yep.
Yeah. I was waiting for him to be like, did your father tell you anything about the island? Yeah. Did your father make it to the island?
I'm kill you.
Yeah, he told me I'm going to kill you.
It is very vibe.
Yep. And, you know, no one can know my secret.
Like, this is pretty hardcore for Smallville.
It is.
Yeah. Right? Green Arrow's bringing some adultness to this show. Yes. But hey, we have a plus one for a knockout to keep. Whose secret, Lance?
Oliver's secret.
That's right. We have a new category.
Oliver keeps secrets? No.
But Lance pointed this out because I was like, is this a Clark secret? He's like, no, Oliver's secret. I'm like, oh, that's great. So, Lance, we have a new category in honor of you guys on Always Holding the Arrow. Knockouts to keep Oliver's secret. We'll see how long this lasts because everybody finds out Oliver's identity at some point on the show. But he does show up and he very slowly comes in.
Yeah.
Very slowly turns around. The shot that I immediately thought about, Kev, that you were talking about, is when he pulls out his bow and he kind of turns around slowly and pulls it back. I'm like, this is so
slow. They just hold it on him for a while, like he didn't have any direction. And he just kind of stood there and like he slightly moved, then it went to the next scene. It was really weird. But yeah.
Well, they wanted to show off what he did and they didn't want to, like, I guess, go by too fast, I guess. But
what do y'all think of him shooting the bullet?
That is some really risky timing, my friends.
Yeah. And also, why does he point the crossbow at Lois? Like, he's standing over her, and he, like, points it at her, but then checks on her, then picks her up. It's just like, this whole scene, like, you know, where he decides to save her takes so long. It's just so funny.
Everything about this Green Arrow takes a long time, man.
Right, he's like, am I gonna kill her? Nah.
Yeah.
They've already established, like, multiple times, like he shoots the guy in the shoulder, but then the knockout gas happens, right? So he doesn't kill people. So I don't know why they tease.
It's
very odd. It's a very odd rescue. So, but at the time, I was like, oh my God, look at the Green Arrow doing stuff. So cool. And it is cool in its own way. So on Earth 167, this is cool. So Lana comes home to Lex, and one of the best lines of this whole subplot is when Lana walks by, tries to sneak by the Luther Library, but Lex shoots her with what? What does he say, Lance?
He's like, I didn't know that blackmailing was one of your talents, which is pretty funny.
And she has to go explain how, like, oh, I was just, you know, trying to protect you. And he's like, no one's ever tried to protect me like that before. And it's like,
blah, blah, blah.
Da, 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 mm-hmm. da, da. Right? And they're, of course, in front of the fireplace.
Yep. That's where all the magic happens.
That's where all the Imagine Dragons happens.
That's right. She, you know, tells him about Lionel, and, you know, it is what it is, right? And, this episode just brings them closer together because Lex sees how much Lana truly cares about him, right?
So. Yeah, and we all know he's always loved her.
Yeah.
That's true. Ever since that second episode where he first saw her from his point of view, because remember, he met her when she was like 10 or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But where the scene ends up is, Lana's like, oh, well, I didn't tell you, but I have seen it used as a weapon. I know what it can do. And Lex is like, so you want me to shut the project down? She's like, no, we need to study it so we can be ready for next time they come. I'm like, no, what?
Yeah.
No, destroy it.
Yeah.
Destroy the thing. Pandora's box. Lionel gave you this whole great speech about how, like, Lex is going to use it to take, he's not even going to know, and it's going to take over the world. And anyway, so then we cut to Lois, and she's on this rooftop by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what? Did we miss? Did something mess up? Did the DVD skip? Because let's continue to talk about the never-ending problems with our Smallville Season 6 DVD set.
Yeah.
There's some deleted scenes of this episode. I haven't seen them because my DVD wouldn't play them. I don't know where they would go. Next time we record, Lance is going to bring his DVDs.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to the bottom of it. He has the whole series set.
I do.
So maybe I'll mention those next time. But anyway, it is kind of funny because it's like the shot of Lois there and then Oliver just kind of leans in.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you okay?
And then she wakes up and, like, kicks him and steals his crossbow.
Yep.
Yeah. She takes him out.
Yeah. It's like, come on, Green. It's like Batman and Catwoman.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you're a woman. Oh, my God. It's like, come on, Batman. And had he kept it in its full, like, bow and arrow form,
yeah,
it would have been a lot harder for her to point it at him like a gun, right?
And they trade some barbs here, and she mentions V for Vendetta, and he mentions Tomb Raider. It's just like, man, guys.
Yeah, because she's in the, you know, the tank top, Lara Croft look, but she shoots at him and I think misses on purpose, right?
Oops.
Guess my aim's a little rusty. And she's like, let's see who's under that mask, you King of Thieves, because Robin Hood reference. And Clark, who has shown up at some point, sees this going down from far away, and decides to heat vision a distraction.
Yeah.
It blows up the billboard.
And ruins somebody's security fence.
Yes.
Yeah, way to go, Clark. Like, could you have not moved in front of the fence?
Yeah, like, no. Just hop over the fence, bro.
Again, Superman is nothing but consistent when it comes to destruction of public property. So then this gives Oliver the chance to get away. Again, very Arrow. He's on his bike.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
His motorcycle. It is cool because he's going down some back lot, and then Clark is in front of him. He's like, Oliver Queen, you owe me one. So this is cool, right?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. This is, you know, the heroes know each other's identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say he should have pulled down there and hit Clark and bounced off into like a gas station.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. It's like, this is where Batman runs into Superman. Yeah. Superman doesn't move, just crashes his car.
There's so many things with this show has gotten better by time. Like, things that have happened have made this show more fun.
Well, as established, the DCU, it just watches Smallville and just copies and pastes things exactly. You can watch this side by side. Although this conversation between Smallville, it's called Smallville, between Superman or whoever you want to call him, between Clark and Oliver goes much better than Superman and Batman.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, hey, why'd you help? He's like, I don't think Lois would like the fact that her boyfriend's living a double life or whatever.
So. Yeah, and he's just like, well, one of her best friends is doing the same thing, too.
Yeah.
Uburn. It's like, come on, Clark, man. Like, you just giving people layups on you.
But then Clark missed a great moment for a power move, right? Where, like, because in BVS, Superman just takes off and flies off. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is how powerful I am, right? Clark just slowly walks off into the alley. I'm like, bro, you got to super speed away and show this guy that you're the boss here. So that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
So, but that's why I'm not Superman. So anyway, we get Clark back at the Daily Planet. And he's talking to Chloe, and Chloe's like, oh, all these things have been returned and anonymous donations. And Clark's like, well, you know, he's still breaking the law, and I don't really like that. And Chloe's like, oh, well, you know, that's just how it is. And
he's a modern-day Robin Hood.
Yeah. And then she's like, hey, I never heard back from you about that picture. And he's like, oh, that was a dead end.
I'm lying.
Yeah, way to go. And then she checks, all her files have been deleted, right? So I guess Clark, he went in there and deleted all her stuff?
Yeah. He's some IT expert. He's like, I can just... Like, she can go to the recycle bin, bro. Like, make sure stuff's really gone.
She's like a class 10 hacker. She can't do like, that stuff.
He's better off just smashing the computer. Like,
the files are in the computer. Zoolander style. But Clark's like, don't look into him, Chloe. And she's like, you know who he is, don't you? She gets all excited, and it's pretty cool. And she's like, he tells her, as a favor to me, just don't look into it. And she's like, I guess there is an honor among superheroes.
Yeah, well, she figured out, it's like, well, he knows who you are, too.
Yes, yes. So.
And when she said there's honor among superheroes, I was just waiting for someone in the very busy office to be like, what was that, Chloe? What? Superheroes? What are you talking about over there?
About so just
talking about secret identities and superheroes out loud in the middle of the office, in the middle of workday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But we get Lois and Oliver hanging out at the Talon,
mm-hmm.
which I guess she lives upstairs. It makes sense they went downstairs for a cup of coffee, sure. And Lois Lane has made the front page of the Metropolis Inquisitor yet again,
mm-hmm.
with an article about the Green Arrow.
Kidnapped by the Green Arrow.
Yeah, and they dropped the bandit.
I spent the night with Superman.
Yeah,
yep.
There it is, right?
I was kidnapped by the Green Arrow.
Do you think this article is hanging in their house?
Yeah.
Nope.
Of course, I take that down. Like,
yeah.
Ex-boyfriend's crap on our wall.
It's like, not in my house.
This is a good back and forth between them. We established that, he is new. And that's cool because, like, look, Clark is 20.
Yeah.
In this season. So Oliver's a little older. I guess when we get to season 7, we probably do some math for how old he is.
Okay.
But, 25. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
He's Lex's contemporary. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Lex, I guess in the next episode, it's their 10th anniversary.
Yeah,
so
we established how old
he is. So he's 28.
Yeah.
Whew. He's 28 and Lois is 20? I mean, it's still, I mean, within 8 years, but still, good for you, Oliver. Oliver Queen still got it. You know, and again, we joke about, like, the weird family dynamics of, like, Clark's best friend who's in love with him. Her cousin ends up marrying Clark and all that stuff. Like, but let's get real here. Like, Oliver, true to Oliver Queen's style, like, he has been with, and I mean biblically, Chloe and Lois, you know, mm-hmm. cousins. You know, I'm like, that's weird. You know, like,
I mean, he's doing sisters in other Earths. So, you know,
yeah, he sure is.
Like, it's a character trait.
This is just Oliver Queen, man. You know,
and you know, and he was also with somebody his father was in Arrow. So,
oh, yeah. Boy.
He's gonna.
That's like that's one of my favorite scenes in that. It's just like the look on his face when he finds out.
You know when Chloe and Oliver drop off their son to hang out with Lois and their daughters in the future. There's gonna be some weird looks. There's gonna be some we've all been together type vibes. You know.
Yep.
And you know, to the show's credit, they spend an entire episode.
They do.
Dealing with this, and it's Siren.
Yeah.
No, it's not Siren. It's
the one with Silver Banshee.
Banshee. No, what's it? Is it called Banshee?
I can't remember, but Silver Banshee is the villain in it, right?
Yes,
because they go to that getaway.
They go to like the little cabin place to hang out, the bed and breakfast.
Right,
hangout.
Right. That's a fun episode. Because Clark picked it for Lois because she thought Lois wanted to go there, but it was Chloe's because they're living together.
Yep.
That's a fun episode.
That was a necessary episode because of all this like drama going on that we don't even know is going to be drama for years later.
Yeah.
But anyway, a fun exchange here because Oliver's like, so you're going to like drop this now? And she's like, oh, no, we're going to find out who this guy is. And he's like, I don't know.
He's not killed. He's like, Oliver's like, he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah. But the standout line to me to Lois says to him is, trust me, you don't know the Green Arrow like I do. And that's great. Again, we love the secret identity stuff.
Yes.
And that's what you get in these episodes. So
yeah.
So we establish that little subplot for them. And then Lex comes home to find Lionel hanging out, and they congratulate each other on their evil plan of testing Lana.
Mm-hmm.
So, great. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, basically.
Anything?
Nah. Nope. And, you know, like... And Lionel's trying to, like, you know, somewhat get back in Lex's good graces, but Lex doesn't believe him. And he's like, well, fine. What if I just tell Lana the truth? And then and Lex is just like, well, then I'll tell the Kents. Like, they're just, like, constantly one-upping each other.
The only thing about this scene, they have, you know, because anytime these two are together, we always talk about how great they are together. They do have a good line. I'm not going to say it perfectly how it was said, but it's along the lines of, like, you've been pretending to be so good, you're starting to actually believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good line.
That was a good
because it made Lionel think about it. Like, yeah, and it made you realize that, you know, Lionel is, you know, as nice as he's been, he's still Lionel. You know.
Yep.
He's just thirsty.
And then the companion, Brian Peterson, writer of the episode, had this to say about this subplot: "Quote, at that point, we had dropped a little of the father-son dynamic. They were not necessarily allies, and it was fun to show that even when they're at their most adversarial, there's still a very twisted family dynamic where they're willing to help each other in this kind of sick way." So there you go. That's the thinking there from the writer's room. But no, I do love that where he's like, the whole one-upping, like, you're starting to turn into a good guy because you're pretending to be so for so long. And Lionel's like, damn, he's right.
Yep.
So, but they're still playing with that, like, is Lionel good? Is he bad? That kind of thing. And then we get our final scene in the loft. Clark's hanging out in his white t-shirt.
Yep.
And we get to Oliver Queen. Reading Clark's research on him.
Yeah.
So we'll take a screenshot of this, but I guess it was the following headline to the one we saw in the pilot.
Yeah.
Where, like, Queen Industries CEO missing. This is like dead at sea. He's reading that, and he's like, I didn't know it was such an interesting research subject. Right? but this is a good scene between the two of them. Had they known where they were going to go with these characters, this might have been a little different.
Yeah.
Because he's like, there's a whole world of people out there, Clark. They need us, right? They need you to, you know, when you want to do some good, you know, let me know, right? Yeah. And that's like, oh, great. That's like leading to something. But this is beginning of season 6.
Yeah.
And we have a long way to go, right?
Yeah, it takes a little bit to get to that. Also, it's cool to see superheroes like, hey, we should do some superhero stuff. But like, it's like, all we've established with you, Green Arrow, is that you just like steal things from rich people. Like, you're not out there like, you know, like saving the world. You're just like stealing some things and helping people out. Right. So like... You know, slow your roll, bro.
Well, I do. Again, it's the ideological difference, right? Because Clark is like, I could never break the rules like that. And I was like, okay, well, you seem to have all the answers. So here's this necklace. I'm going to let you decide what to do with it because it got taken by warlords.
Yeah.
You know? And so I like because they both have points. It's not like manufactured, you know, drama for the sake of drama, right? Like where they meet each other and they don't know what they each stand for. So they're going to fight and they got to figure out later. Like, no, they actually have different outlooks on life based off where they come from, and the more we learn, the more time we spend off of Queen, they flesh that out as well.
Yeah, so. For sure. They come to, like, you know, an impasse, but like they both are left with questions. Like, you know, like Clark doesn't know what he's, you know, he's going to do with, you know, the necklace he was given. Oliver is still trying to figure out Clark and doesn't know like what he wants to do with him yet. Like,
yeah, because he does something. Like, hey, you have amazing abilities. I admire the fact that you save people close to you, but there's other people out there that can use your help. So, and also he's like, the end justify the means every time. Absolutely. And Clark's like, I could never feel that way. No. I would never snap somebody's neck if I didn't have any other options. Again, that doesn't bother me. I have no problem with that in Man of Steel, but I know that some people do, and they're like, what does this guy really think about this? You're not going to pin me down. No way. So anyway, but the episode ends with this call to action, right, to Clark from Oliver Queen. Mm-hmm. They can't use the Superman theme, and they don't have the Blur theme, so it's like, da 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 da. It's like this generic, you know, Superman the Ride.
Yeah.
Superman the video game music, right?
It's all good.
No popular music this episode either, by the way. I think, hot take, we're four episodes in, only one episode, Withered, had popular music.
Yeah.
But that is an A+ popular music episode.
It was really good.
Ache and It Ends Tonight, those are two, like, I love those songs. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been listening to them nonstop since we recorded last episode. I've enjoyed them so much, right? So heavy hitters, get those, and then save the money to make them work. So, yeah. Anyway.
They had to save the money for that bow budget, man.
That's right.
that CGI bow done. Yeah.
It ain't gonna pay for itself, man. It ain't gonna pay for itself.
You've been reading up on me. You and Lois ought to start a fan club. You gonna tell her? I don't know, Clark. You know, you seem to be doing a pretty good job skating by with this farm boy charade.
You can't be with someone unless they know who you really are. Trust me, I've tried.
You lost her to Lex. Is that why you hate me, Clark? Because I'm just another silver spoon-fed rich boy, is that it? Or is it because I'm not willing to play the martyr like you?
You can play this game as long as you want. But sooner or later, you're gonna hurt her. You know that.
Well, you seem to have all the answers. So I guess it's a good thing I've decided to put this into safer hands. For the record, Lionel bought that off a notorious Bosnian warlord. Used it to launder Luther Corp money.
So why give it to me?
Well, you seem to have a crystal clear idea of what's right and what's wrong. You decide who it belongs to.
It's not as clear as it used to be. You really think it's right to steal as long as it goes to a good cause?
That the end justifies the means? Absolutely, yes.
I'll never feel that way. You said you didn't owe me one. So why are you really here?
Clark, you have abilities I couldn't even dream of. And I admire that you use them to save the people you're close to.
But
there's a whole world of people out there, Clark. They need us. With your potential, you can't wait for them to come to you. And you're ready to do something about that, you let me know.
Arrow got an 8.9 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 3 out of 5. So, Lance, I'll ask you on the letter grade scale, is this a bullseye, off the mark, a miss, or you have failed this city?
I'm going to give it a bullseye. This is a fun episode of Smallville, right? And, you know, this was a kind of a game changer as well, because, like, up until this point, Clark had, like, when he met another person from the DC universe that was, like, a hero, they were gone, like, as soon as they came. But Oliver is clearly, at this point, like, he's here to stay. And, you know, he's going to have to deal with him, and he has differences with this person. It's not like, you know, the other times where they, you know, they both, you know, he and this other person shook hands and they had their little
Stay
adventure
super, bro.
And they'll meet each other down the line. It's like, no, Oliver's going to be here. And they're not really friends at this point. They're not really necessarily allies.
He's like, is that why you hate me, Clark?
Yeah. So, you know, so it provides an interesting new wrinkle to the show. I like him and Lois. And it was, you know, been putting myself back in the day, like this was super exciting because like the world, this Smallville world is expanding. And this just is a really fun episode.
All right. What about you, Kev?
Yeah, man, this is a bullseye, A plus. Like I said, in the beginning of the episode, it saved my Smallville watching, because I was just watching them back to back to back to back. I almost instead started watching How I Met Your Mother on the ship.
Oh man.
Oh no.
And literally, this
what
episode
a different
came
life
on.
Yeah,
man, I would have been talking to two different. That's an alternate universe. It's multiverse.
Yeah.
I'm hosting. I'll always hold on to always whatever your mom or whatever. I can't even. <guess, so. laughs> But yeah, that could have been. I could have been the host of that. I probably wouldn't like Hallmark Christmas movies in that universe either. So I don't want to be that person. But no, this episode like refreshed me. It got me excited about the future, the call to arms at the end. I was like, I cannot wait for the next episode to watch the Justice League. And that doesn't happen. But yeah, no, bullseye, A+. Yeah, solid episode, man. All
right. Yeah, for me, I'm going to give it an off the mark.
Okay.
Because the Lex and Lana subplot just pulls us down. I didn't even remember that was in this one.
Like, oh, I just ignored that.
Oh, yeah. What?
That could have been in any episode.
Yeah.
And
that's why you can ignore it.
Yeah, maybe so. And then I don't know, some of the stuff's a little contrived with him finding stuff out and whatnot, but I just it was less focused, but that's because they knew they had Oliver Queen before and after this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I wish there was no B plot in this and it was just all Arrow. Like that would have been definitely
They didn't have to rush anything, literally. He did not move fast at all.
Yep.
They had time.
So I guess those are my criticisms of it. I do think it is a game changer, absolutely, because it's even more of a game changer than we thought. And like I said earlier, we've seen Oliver for a couple episodes already, so they didn't have to set him up and then wrap him up in the same episode. But at the same time, like they had these deviations. I'm like, I don't care about Lana in the elevator with this doctor. Like, let's get back to the Green Arrow story. I really like Oliver and Lois as well. So I'd say off the mark, but since we are always on the Smallville, on a letter grade scale, what would you guys give it? Would you give it A's, A+?
An A.
Yeah, A+, A. Yeah, A+, as Lance likes to tweet. A+.
I would give it a B+, okay, for me. So for all y'all who try to figure out how my ranking scale translates to theirs, there you go. There's your Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, we got to have a conversation about off the mark again. It's a hit. It's on the board. It's just not a bullseye.
But it's off.
The mark of the bullseye.
I understand. I understand now. All right. So for our tally board, we have a +1 for blue shirt, red jacket. That brings us to 42. Ooh. We have a +1 for episode title set, an episode that also brings us to 42. We have a +1 for new category, knockout to keep Oliver's secret. So that's 1 so far. And finally, we have +1 for you weren't yourself, because Lana says Lex wasn't himself. And that brings us to 26 so far. Finally, this is a Bechdel test pass, because we have Lois and Chloe talking about journalism.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get the story. So there you have it. A lot of fun, guys. Obviously, this is one we had to do together,
mm-hmm,
because of our two podcasts, bringing it together. This is a fun thing to look back on.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is where it all started, right? So, you know, no Smallville, no Arrow. No Arrow on Smallville. Definitely no Arrow.
Yeah.
No. And one of those weird alternate universes we've been talking about all night, like there was a spinoff of Arrow and Supergirl, mm-hmm, and Aquaman, right? And Tom Welling showed up as Clark Kent at some point on season 5 of Arrow,
yep, and
driving through Smallville, and you know, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, I am ultimately, like, we go back and forth, but you guys, I mean, obviously I'm sure you guys are happy that they went the direction they did.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
had there been a spinoff with Justin Harley's Green Arrow, there would be no Arrow.
That's correct.
Or Arrowverse.
No.
So if you had to choose, I don't know. I still don't know what I would choose. Because I think all the things were like, he's slow. And so they would have refined that if they did, like, hey, we're doing an Arrow show now.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to do, you know, martial arts, and he's going to do, you know, quick movements, and we're going to have a more fleshed out Starling City. Hello, it didn't take 3 years and Ray Palmer killing himself and then rename it Star City.
We're almost to that.
We're close, y'all.
We're close to that.
We're getting close to that.
Oh, boy. So speaking
buckle
of...
Buckle up.
Speaking of, if people want to find you guys out there on their net, where can they find you?
They can find me personally at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at ChillUs. That's CHILL_US.
And if you want to find the show and tweet at the show, we are at Do Not Fail Our Pod. Always hold on to Arrow. Hashtag. You can find us on the UFP network.
That's right. Very good. Very good. As for me personally, I'm Moron Zach on Twitter. That's MoreOnZach. And also find me also on the UFP network hosting Franchise Fatigue, a show where we talk about movies, remakes, reboots, and when franchises get fatigued. We're at UFP Earth on Twitter. And as for the podcast here itself, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at AlwaysHoldOnToSmallville. And you can send us an email at AlwaysMallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. We're going to continue our Arrow specials together. So when you guys finish your season two coverage, you'll be back over here. We'll go through every episode. We'll talk about the four levels, not five, because, you know, off the mark is still a hit, as we've established.
Yep.
In our conversations here. So those are a lot of fun. So look forward to those. I hope all the listeners enjoy that. And if you're not listening to us on the Arrow, do it. All right. So there
please
you go.
Please do.
Yeah, please.
Just do it.
We'd love to have you listen to our show.
Yeah. Don't let your dreams be dreams. So. But we'll be back next time talking reunion. But until then, always hold on to
Arrow.
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 Bum 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 bum.
Always Hold on to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Kevonte Chillis, Casey Cochran, James Bandini II, Darren Kirsch, Lex Ledger, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe McIndo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Figuerella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, Zachary Burkhalter, DJ Duena, Corey Moore, Dallas Hernandez, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fanzler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jerry Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, and Keith Falls. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.